Well, God bless everyone in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to Thursday Fellowship. And it's the 18th of January, 2018. And yesterday I had a great fellowship with Becky and Phil at their home, and that teaching is on the blog right now. I encourage you to go and listen to that. And, you know, God is really at work, and, you know, He's with you, and He wants you to really expect great things from Him. And my teaching tonight is called Expect Much More. God will meet you at the level of your expectations. We know in Ephesians 3:20 it says that, now unto Him, God, that is able to do. He's able. He's an able God. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. So what are you thinking? But there's, before I actually get into my teaching, there's a couple of things I want to read. I was reading today a few articles, and a couple of them grabbed my attention. And they're by E.W. Kenyon, a wonderful man of God, going back many years. There's just a short article, and it's called Two Kinds of Unbelief. And I think this is just really important to read out, especially in the light that God put in my heart for this year. The theme is, the just shall live by faith, by believing, right? Faith is believing, and believing is acting on the word. So this is what E.W. Kenyon wrote. There are two kinds of unbelief. The first is based on lack of knowledge. A man does not believe the word because he knows nothing about it, so he does not believe in the Father's revelation to him. A number of unbelievers are ignorant of the things to believe. They do not know, so they cannot believe. The second type of unbelief is mentioned in Hebrews 4:11. It is an unpersuadableness. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into the rest, that no man fall after the same examples of disobedience. The meaning of the word translated disobedience is the American version, and unbelief in the King James Version is unpersuadableness. The word here means that the man is unwilling to allow the word to govern him. It is based upon a refusal to act upon knowledge. He knows what the word teaches, but he refuses to act upon it. Believing is an act of the will, or an act of your will. You can act on the word of God if you will to do. Believing is willing to do His will. Disobedience is an unpersuadableness attitude towards the word. Non-action is unbelief. In other words, unbelief is a refusal to act upon the word. 1 Peter 3:15 shows us that man has never crowned Christ as Lord in his heart. And it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He has never given the word its place of lordship. Consequently, he lives in a state of weakness and fear. Then unbelief is either ignorance of the word or unpersuadableness to act upon the word. It is like the one who says, I am open to conviction, but I like to see the one who could convict me. So I just thought that was really cool just to consider, and you can go back over that when I put this teaching on the internet. And the other record I was reading, a little article by E.W. Kenyon, is called The Value of Witnessing. And this is what he has to say. Israel was God's testimony while she lived in Palestine. All the land trafficked between Babylon, Damascus and Egypt had to pass through Palestine. They were God's ancient witnesses. It was a sad day when they lost that witness and were carried away into captivity. We are God's testimony today. Ye are my witnesses means that individually we are a testimony. It's significant that our faith never rises above our testimony. If you are afraid to witness, faith dies or becomes feeble and helpless. Your testimony is your faith expressed, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, it is a lip confession. If you confess before the world and maintain your confession, never giving it up, never yielding to a second confession, you are expressing faith. A second confession is a contradiction of the first. When he tells us to hold fast to our confession, he is striking at the very root of Christianity. You will never grow beyond your confession. They overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Sin consciousness has its own confession, just as righteousness conscientiousness has its confession. Satan is the inspirer of the testimony of the sin of consciousness, just as the Holy Spirit is the inspiration for the testimony of righteousness. Every testimony of weakness and failure glorifies him who makes you weak. It is Satan's testimony through your lips when you confess that your prayers are not answered. You are charging God with falsehood, and you are lending your lips to the devil to give his testimony of his supremacy over God. When you say, "I have been prayed for again and again and have not received my healing," you are glorifying the adversary. It is your testimony of lack, of unbelief, of failure that has yielded and held you in bondage. If you had given a testimony of faith and maintained it in the presence of everyone, provocation that God's word was true and that by his stripes you are healed, you would be healed. Your lack of money, your lack of strength, your lack of unusefulness in the cause of Christ is the product of your own testimony. Some people have two testimonies. One is for public consumption. The other is their private testimony. Their private testimony is failure and lack. The public testimony is feeble, weak, and almost cringing that God's word is true. It is that frank, absolute testimony of the victories of Christ that give birth to faith in other people's hearts have but one testimony, and that of absolute faithfulness of God and of your absolute confidence in that word. And I just felt really inspired just to read those out there. You know, you take it for what it is. It's really, really encouraging. And then before I get into my teaching, there's a little poem that I like to read. And I don't do this in all the fellowships that we've done, really, but I really felt inspired to do this tonight because a lot of us have gone through tough times, have gone through times where we're, you know, lacking, where we feel we're on our own, where we feel God's not coming through, where the pressure's hard, when things are pressing us down. And sometimes, even to the point that we want to give up and we want to stop praying, we want to stop believing, we start talking negatively. But this poem is a real little encourager for you. And it's called The Postage Stamp. And it says this: "There was a little postage stamp, no bigger than your thumb, but still it stuck right to the job until the work was done. They licked it and they pounded it till it would make you sick. And the more it took a licking, the better it would stick. Let's be like the postage stamp in playing life's rough game, and just keep on a-sticking, though hung our heads in shame. The stamp stuck to the letter till it saw it safely through. There's no one can do better. Let's keep sticking and be true." So I like that. You know, no matter what comes against you, no matter what lickings you take in life, you got the faith of God in you. You got God in Christ in you. You have the word. That's your confession of faith. We say what the word of God says. We say the promises of God. We don't say what's actually happening to us. We give that to God in prayer. We cast all our cares to him because he cares for us. But I'd like you to take your Bibles now. And I'd like you to go to Mark. Mark chapter 16. Titled this teaching, Expect Much More. Don't settle for where you are in your walk with God right now. Expect much more. Expect to grow. Expect to excel. Expect to expand. Don't put up with the negativity in your life. Don't put up with the lack in your life. Don't put up with the negatives that have come against you in your life. You are a son and daughter of God. You've got God in Christ in you. And you are a person of great faith because you've got Word of God in you. You've got Christ in you. And it says in 1 John, greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. If you believe that, then that's what we'll act like. We need to act upon the word of God. And, you know, we don't try and make the word work. We just act upon the word and the word works. Because God backs up his word. He watches over his word to perform it. And in Mark 16, read this in one of my other teachings, and I want to start off with this, because what God does for one person, he'll do for another when we believe. God is not a respecter of person, but he is a faith God, and he honors our faith. And the way faith is released is through acting upon the word and our confession of that word. And in Mark 16:14 it says, afterward he, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because that's what unbelief is. It's hardness of heart. It's not trusting in God. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature or every creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. If you want signs, miracles and wonders to follow you, you need to believe the word of God to you. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he gave them encouragement. He lifted their faith. He told them, look, this is what will happen when you act upon my word. When you do what you're instructed to do. And believe it. Believing means obedience. If you're believing, you're in obedience to God. Not man, but to God. And to his instruction to you from his word and from what he's working in your heart by his spirit. It says, So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. They moved. They acted upon that word given to them. And they preached everywhere. This word preached is caruso. They published the word. They proclaimed it. And that's what we need to do. We need to proclaim God's word. And God will open up those doors for you to proclaim it. And it says, the Lord working with them. You're not on your own when you speak that word. God is backing you up, right? He's right there with you to perform, to do, to protect, to deliver. And confirming the word with signs following. When you're speaking his word, then signs will follow. Okay, signs will follow. And some people will believe what you got to say. Some people will consider what you got to say. Some people won't believe what you got to say. But the outcome of what they do, whether they believe or they don't, or they consider it, is not up to you. Your job and my job is to speak the word of God. It says in 2 Corinthians that now we're ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because Christ is seated at the right-hand side of God. We've been given his responsibility on this earth to carry out that ministry and word of reconciliation. So if you go to the book of Acts chapter 1. And again, I'm going to just go over a few scriptures. You're aware of these things, but these things need to be reminded of. And then we're going to look at some of the miracles and how God worked with his people. So that's Acts chapter 1. So Jesus Christ, he set the example. Okay, he set the example. He was preaching, teaching, ministering healing, raising the dead, doing miracles, feeding the 5,000, walking upon the water, showing that he was Christ. Okay, showing that he was the Messiah, the chosen one. And then he showed his disciples, he sent them forth, he gave them authority. And then in Acts 1, verses 1 to 3, we read, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Philophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So Jesus already began both to do and teach. And he is still doing today through those that believe, through those that stand upon the word. He's still doing the great things. Signs, miracles, wonders are still happening today to those that believe, to those that act upon the word. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, and after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he commanded them, he gave them instruction. And God will give you instruction, whether that's directly through his word or through his minister or through another believer. And when we are obedient to that, then the things will happen. We'd be at the right place at the right time. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the book of Acts is an exciting account of not only what Jesus began both to do, but still does today through those who believe. Our God is a supernatural God, and the church of God, the body of Christ, is a supernatural church with Christ as its head. And we just need to believe that the word, we need to get some courage and start being who we are. Because the real you is that you are as Christ is in this world. That's the real you. And the circumstances says you're not. The five senses, when we look at it, says you're not. Your lack that you might have says you're not. Oh, this word ain't true because I prayed and I haven't got my answers. But the truth is, you say what you want, not what you see. You get that promise of God, you claim it and you stand upon it. Even if God doesn't come through on you, you still stand upon the word. But he's going to come through for you, right? But you've got to have the attitude, even if God doesn't deliver me, even if God doesn't come through for me, I'm still going to stand because the word of God is true. It's the word that lives and abides forever. God is not slack concerning his promises. That's the kind of mindset we got to have. And God gives that to you when you set your mind to him. He gives you that attitude. He's working in you. But you've got to set your focus to him, not your circumstances. Not looking at other people and where they are in their walk. Be focused on where you are in your walk. And if you're not happy where you are, then say, God, rise me up. Show me what I got to do. And God will say, believe my word. Go and preach. Go and minister. Go and serve. Go and be a blessing. Look to give. See, it's in the giving that you receive. And what you give out is what you're going to receive. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what have you been sowing? The word of God is seed. And it doesn't return void. When God's word goes out, it'll accomplish the thing that he sent it to accomplish. Right? It will not return void unto him. And we do the things with believing. No doubts. There's got to be no room. There's no room for doubt. And when doubt comes, you give that doubt to God. Father, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What does your word say about this? And then you give it to him. So God is a God of miracles. And I think it deserves us to take time to look in the word and look at how God worked with his people. Look what the believers of the first century church done. We're the believers of the 21st century. Now it's time to move. Now God is going to do great things for those that believe. If you don't want to believe, stay in your unbelief. All right. If you want to believe, it's available to believe. So we do what's available and we move with the one true God because he's with us. He's for us. He's our Heavenly Father. Listen, even if you get persecuted for standing on the word, it's worth it. Because God will deliver you. And we've seen this in the book of Acts. We've seen the things that Paul went through, Peter went through, all the apostles when they were persecuted. When they were persecuted, they went even further preaching the word. They were scattered abroad, it says in Acts 8, and they continued speaking that word. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, it's living energy. So in Acts chapter 5 we begin, and in verse 12... And it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Not just one person come to being added to the fellowship, but multitudes, because they were standing on the word. God was confirming their words with the signs, miracles, wonders by the hands of the apostles, and people were marveled. Wow, God's done this. And listen, when miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance are taking place, people will come. I've seen it here in my own house. When someone got healed here, my own son got turned on to the word. And when he got turned onto the word, other people got turned onto the word. And other people came for healing. Right? You've got power and you've got authority over your situations. Because God has given you that authority and you're the one to decide to use his power. Right? And as you decide with God, he energizes that in you. Verse 15, it says, so there was verse 14 we read again, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. There came also multitudes out of the city round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Every one of them was healed, because great faith was there, great expectation. God's calling card was there with the signs, miracles and wonders, and people wanted it. And I tell you what, people don't know what they want until it's set before them. Especially when it comes to the word of God, especially when it comes to healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, and the power of the Spirit of God. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. You're always going to get someone take a stand against you. And laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But, because they were so bold there, their lives were dedicated to God 100%. They weren't distracted with the cares of this world, with the things that were happening in this world, with what their friends were doing, with what their neighbours were doing. They were 100% sold out to God. And if we're going to see these things, that's what we need to be. And it says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door. What a miracle, right? And brought them forth and said, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's what we got to do. Go. Just go. They went forth. So we go and we stand. Take a stand on that word of God. As well as take a stand wherever we are. And speak to the people. Give them the word. Tell them what's available. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about the power of Christ and that God raised him from the dead. And that you can be saved. You can receive Holy Spirit today. You can have eternal life. Where are you going? Repent. Change direction. Tell them that Jesus Christ is coming back. But it's got to be living in your life. You've got to believe this word 100%. You've got to be sold out to God. And you don't have to be an apostle, prophet, founder, pastor, teacher to be sold out to God. Right? God will work with anyone that believes in. He's looking for people to believe in. He's looking for people not looking at the circumstances, the people that are not worrying, fearing and doubting. Because that's where the devil wants you, and he wants you to confess them things. And just like we've read there from Kenyon, when we confess the negatives, we're really giving glory to the devil without even knowing it. And we're really saying that God can't deliver us. Well, God can deliver you. He's a God of deliverance. He's a God of might. He's a God of a miracle. And we need to expect better. We need to have great expectation. And God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And God is working in you. You can do what we're reading here in the book of Acts. It's an example for us. It's a testimony to us of the power of God working in the life of believers that believe. In Acts 6:8, we can't read the whole record because there's quite a few records I want to go through. But in Acts 6:8, it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. When you're full of faith, when you're trusting God 100%, then that Spirit of God is energized in you to do. And you're not even going to be worried about what people think about you, what they say about you. Well, I better not speak over there because they might laugh at me and talk behind my back. No, it's not that way. Not when you're full of faith, right? Your heart is to please the Father. And to reach out to others because you have a compassion. You know they need to be saved. You know that there's a way for them. But we got to be those witnesses. And we're not a witness if we're up and down. You know what I mean? If we're in and out. And so we got to be steadfast regardless of what's going on. So these are just really wonderful records. And I just encourage you guys, read the word. Read these records. Read the book of Acts. Read the church epistles. Then also look at how God worked with his people. But just read the word. Don't worry about the Hebrew and Greek for now. Just read. And I tell you what, your faith will rise. Your faith will really rise. Acts chapter 8, if you'd like to go there, please. And in verse 5, we read. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That's who we preach. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And see, when we're standing on the word, when you're speaking truth, that's going to happen. We're going to see it happen, more so than we've ever seen it. We've got to expect these things. And many with the palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Listen, Bristol needs great joy, right? Chester, Manchester, all the areas of Bristol need great joy, because all it is doom and gloom. The economy, immigrants, the government, Brexit, all these things. Doom and gloom. Taxes are high, the funds are low. What a wrong focus. But the adversary is the god of this world, and he works in the systems of this world, and he gears it up so that he can try and blind your mind if you don't believe. Because the adversary, he blinds the minds that them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So that's why we stand through thick and thin. We stand in the good times, we stand in the challenging times, because our God is a God of deliverance, and he wants his word to be spoken, because when the word is spoken, then signs, miracles, wonders can occur. Healings and deliverances can take place. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 14. Again, we're looking at records where the power of God was at work. So this is Paul and Barnabas in Iconium. And in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogues of the Jews." They went where the people were. "And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greek, believed." Right? "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles." You always find that the unbelievers always try and stir up people that are believing when they're new. "And made their minds evil affected against the brethren." They're a cult. Don't go near them. You're going to get that. But stand on the word. Don't budge. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their mind evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly." They stayed there. Because of this, they stayed even longer. They didn't run off and hide. I ain't going there again. It says, "So long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly." Boldly means fearlessly. There was no fear, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love and a sound mind. "And spoke boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace," his favour, "and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." Listen, God's going to do that for you. He's going to do that for me when we take that stand. When we make up our minds, we got to speak. We got to declare. Acts 19, let's go there and have a look here. And again, we're looking at the life of the Apostle Paul right now. And it's just an overview. Again, just to remind us, to encourage us to get the focus. The focus is outreach. The focus shouldn't be us all the time. Our focus should be God first, and then the things that he wants us to do. And then from there it's outreach, growth, praying for labourers. We go to the Lord of the harvest. Jesus Christ told him, "No, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send labourers into the harvest. For the labourers are few." And it's the same today. If the labourers are few, that means there's many people out there still to be led to Jesus Christ, to be led to God, to hear the glorious gospel of the truth, whether the West has had it or not. The West has had the word of God for all different practices and religions and doctrines and groups, but they've had the word, and there's still people there that need to believe, need deliverance, need the truth. And we got it. We got the word of God in our heart, and we believe God, and we need to take action. And God is working in us. He provides. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. We just need to be ready to go. Are you ready to go? Acts chapter 19, verse 11. "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them." The faith was so high, the expectation to receive was so high from the people, that Paul just blessed the hankies and aprons and sent them out. People got delivered, because there's so many that have need, and today there's still so many people that have need. Acts 28, let's go and have a read there. So this is the life of Paul we're looking at right now, just a few examples from his life. And in Acts 28 verse 8 it says, "And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him." That's all you have to do. You know someone that's got a need? Go and tell them they can get healed. And be bold. Go and just put your hand. Tell them, do you want to be healed now? You can be healed right now. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's not hang around. And then, you know, you work with them. God would be working with you what to say to build their faith to the point of receiving. Verse 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. It only takes one person to get healed. One miraculous healing from God into someone's life. Other people start to, and they want that healing. Who also honoured us. See, you know, you get honoured, you get blessed. With many honours, and we departed, they ladened us with such things as was necessary. Their needs were met. The things that they needed were met because people's hearts were so blessed and touched because of the deliverance that they gave. And it's all about giving. Not about abundant sharing. I'm not on about that. That's a part of it. But everything is about what can we give? What can we do to serve? What can we do to bless? What is right? What is God showing us to do in these situations? And God is a great provider. And yes, we do need to honour God with our substance as well. That is very important. Because God said it is, not because I'm saying it is. But the focus is that we want to do what God wants us to do. And we do it from a pure heart of believing. Let's have a look at Peter's life. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Now we know there was many great things that Peter done. Like in Acts chapter 3. We're not going to read that. I covered that in the other teaching. Where they went to the temple, Peter and John. And the guy that was lame, he got healed. And there was about another few thousand added to the church there. But here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 it says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them when he was come. That reminds me, you know, that Peter, okay, he went up and he come. Like when people went to Jesus, what did they do? What did Jesus say? I'll come. When someone comes to you and you know there's a need, say, okay, I'll come, we'll do it. Because God is with you. You're not going in your ability or your might, but you're going in the power of God. And when you go in that power of God, relying on him, he will help you in that situation to bring deliverance to the people. Then Peter arose and went with him. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. They were remembering her, right? But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed. He was getting his faith there with God, building himself up. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. That's all he said. The body there was dead of Tabitha. He says, arise, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. See, it's through the signs, miracles and wonders that occur that other people will believe. The work is being done for you. You just need to go and speak and believe God for those open doors where there's great need, where his deliverance is going to come for the people. And it's because we trust God and we have a love for God and we have a compassion for other people that God puts that compassion in you. It's his compassion in you. It's nothing from you, it's from God. And when we act upon that, then other people begin to hear. So it's not like you've got to go and witness to 1,000 people. It only takes one. Like it only takes one person. See, that's going to believe God and move. Praying for those labourers, desiring to God. And let me tell you, I'm desiring to God. And I know God is working in me. I have that confidence that he's working in me. Do you have the confidence that God is working in you? Do you have the confidence that you can do these works that these guys done? Because you can. because the Word of God says you can. It's the Word of God says you can do all things through Christ who is strengthening you. That is God that's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, not your good pleasure. We're just responding to God. So when God says go, when God says speak, when God says, we do what God says. And when we do that, being led, then great things are going to happen. And God can communicate to you guys. He's big enough to show you what to do. He's working with you. He's always working with you. Just like the Lord was working with them when they went forth in Mark 16, what we opened up with. Go back to Paul again. And Acts 20, we go to Acts chapter 20, and we'll read from verse 7. And it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. And it's good that we come together. It's good that not we just come together for fellowship, but we eat together. That we, you know, we can go out and do things together. God wants that. It builds faith. It encourages us. And you know, when you're with believers, you feel more secure than any other place when you're by yourself, right? It's just such a blessing to be with believers. Paul preached unto them. So there was encouragement from the word. Ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So he had a lot to say, and God was working in him. And verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Paul was talking so much, he fell asleep, just like when I do these fellowships, and you all fall asleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So this guy was listening to Paul preach. Paul was preaching for a long time. This young man fell asleep and fell down for three floors. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourself. In other words, he was saying to guys, look, don't get troubled, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, and taken a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and was not a little comforted. In other words, that young man was Paul raised from the dead. See, God takes care of the needs. He knows every single need of every individual, and he's big enough to take care of us. And we just need to keep him first. In Acts 14, go to Acts 14. This is Paul and Barnabas at Lystra. And in verse 7 it says, and there they preached the gospel, the good news. And there sat a young man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are people that haven't heard the gospel going to have faith? If we don't speak, if we don't go, if we don't stand, if we don't speak. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith. So Paul got revelation that this guy had faith to be healed. Said with a loud voice, so Paul said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leapt up and walked. It was just a couple of words. Five words. And the guy was healed. He was born, not able to walk. That's the power of God. And he leapt up and walked. And when the apostles saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice. See, it brought glory to God. It didn't bring glory to Paul. It wasn't a counterfeit healing. It was a genuine healing because it brought glory to God. And any signs, miracles and wonders that bring glory to God is from God. Any signs, miracles and wonders which can be done by the adversary, by the way, and it doesn't bring glory to God, is counterfeit. That's how you tell the difference. Saying in the speech of the Lysonias, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Right, so these were some of the records in the book of Acts. There's many more in the book of Acts. And there's a comparison between the miracles of Peter and Paul in the book of Acts, and I wrote some of them down. So we're not going to go to the records. I'll just read through the comparisons I've written down. So Peter, in Acts 2:43, it says, many signs and wonders were done by the apostles with Peter among the Jews in Jerusalem. Acts 3:1, Peter, in the company of John at the temple gate, heals the man lame from his mother's womb. Okay, in Acts 5:1, Peter rebukes Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead for tempting the Spirit of the Lord. 4, the building in Jerusalem is shaken where Peter and his disciples were praying for strength from God. That's Acts 4:31. Acts 5:15, Peter is so filled with the power of God that even his shadow is enough to heal the sick on whom it falls. Acts 9:33, at Lydia, Peter suddenly heals Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years. In Acts 9:36, at Joppa, Peter restores to life the woman Tabitha, we read that record, who had been devoted to work of love, right, charity. In Acts 12:5, Peter's chains are removed and he is delivered from prison in Jerusalem by means of an angel. And not even forgetting the great occurrence and miracle of Cornelius's house, how the angel went to work with Cornelius and Peter, and the greatest miracle is someone being born again, receiving eternal life, receiving that gift of Holy Spirit, and all of Cornelius' house got born again. And so in Paul's life, in Acts 14:3, many signs and wonders were done by Paul and Barnabas amongst the Gentiles in Asia Minor. In Acts 14:7, Paul, in the company of Barnabas at Lystra, heals the man lame from his birth. In Acts 13:8, Paul rebukes the sorcerer Elymas, who was suddenly blinded for making crooked the straight ways of the Lord. In Acts 16:25, the prison building at Philippi is shaken where Paul and Silas were praying and singing the praises of God. In Acts 19:12, Paul is so effective in working miracles that even handkerchiefs and aprons were carried from his body to the sick, and the deceived left them. In Acts 28:7, on Malta, Paul suddenly cures the father of the host, Publius, of fever, of dysentery, and we read this, right? In Acts 20, at Taurus, Paul restored to life the young man who fell down from the first story, we read that. And Paul's chains are suddenly loosened in the prison at Philippi in Acts 16:25. So there you have quite a few records of the miracle work and power of God. And, you know, we need to expect these things. You know, we don't want to live mediocre lives. We don't just want to get by. God is not a get by God. God is a God of love, of power, and he's willing to work with you. What are you expecting from God? Where's your expectation? Have you been spending time in prayer? Have you been spending time with the Word? Have you been spending time giving your desires to God? Have you been spending time expecting God to do great things? Because he wants to do them more than you want to pray those things. So I just encourage you guys, just get focused on what God wants. We're always focused on what we want. Listen, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need are going to be added unto you. Don't worry about those things. Don't give it full. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He's the God of all comfort. He's with you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's going to provide for you. Right? Make this a year of getting rid of your debt. Make this a year of getting rid of bad relationships. Make this a year of preaching the gospel of Christ to your family, to your friends. And ask God to open up doors where the laborers are. And to send you. Just go forth, willing to do, and he'll open those doors. He'll show you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you and he'll provide for you. So that's what I wanted to share. God bless your hearts and have a great weekend, and see you next Wednesday. God bless you.